Chapter 7. The pampered pooch was just outside the center of town. A 1960s split level converted into a business. It was painted a crisp white with red shutters and decked out with flower boxes under the windows. Lexi and the ladies headed inside, where the smell of dog shampoo and the barking of pampered pets permeated the air. They waited while Betty rang up another customer before approaching the desk. It was a nice business, with a small doggy boutique in the front, set in the large bay window of the former living room. The boutique sold clothes and accessories and all types of gear for canine friends. They'd taken out the top half of the wall that once separated the living room from the kitchen and installed a glass window that looked into the grooming area. Three groomers were working. One had a large black lab on her table, and the other two were working on what looked to be Pomeranians, given their fluffy puffball hairstyles and superior small canine attitudes. Betty was dressed in pink scrubs, adorned with all different kinds of doggy faces, the same as the rest of her staff.
"Hi, Lexi. Sprinkles did great today. She's relaxing in one of the spa rooms. I'll go get her."
Betty went down the hallway to the closed rooms that were once bedrooms and were now converted into plush kennels. A few seconds later, she emerged with Sprinkles, all spiffed up, with a sparkly pink bow and painted pink nails. Sprinkles started fidgeting and wiggling as soon as she spotted Lexi. Betty placed her in Lexi's arms, and the fruity smell of shampoo wafted up as Lexi dodged a barrage of wet, slobbering doggy kisses. "She looks great," Lexi said, shifting Sprinkles onto her hip so she could reach into her purse to pay Betty, who had slipped behind the cash register again.
"This is a great place you have here," Nan said. "Kind of like a hair salon, but for pets." "That's exactly what it is," Betty beamed as she glanced around her shop proudly.
"I bet you get good gossip here, too, just like in a hair salon," Ida said.
You had to hand it to the ladies. They knew how to get the conversation rolling toward exactly what they wanted to discuss.
"That we do."
Betty handed the credit card back to Lexi.
"So you probably heard some scuttlebutt about Mary Archer."
Nan's tried to act nonchalant. Betty glanced around the shop and lowered her voice even though no one else was present.
"It's just terrible. Mary was such a nice person. Can't imagine why anyone would want to do her in," Betty sighed. "And poor Howard, he must be heartsick about all this."
"We just came from his house, actually," Lexi said. "We wanted to check in and make sure he was all right." Sprinkles squirmed in her arms to get down, so she slipped her into her harness, clipped her leash, and set her on the floor while she finished signing the credit card slip. Hard to believe, they were married 40 years. Rumor has it, he was going to give Mary a gift right before she died. Lexi looked at Nan's from beneath her lashes, catching a quick smile from her grandmother at how she'd deftly worked in the one question they'd really wanted to ask.
"Oh, yes," Betty said, shaking her head. "I'd forgotten about that, but I saw it. Pretty little package with that pink paper and bows. Too bad it was probably to make up for the argument." "Argument?"
Nan stepped forward at last, her face alight with interest.
"Howard and Mary had an argument?" "No, the fight was between Mary and that awful Chandler Bennington character. I bet poor Howard just wanted to make Mary feel better afterward. He's such a kind, thoughtful man, that Howard."
"Huh." Nan's narrowed her gaze.
"Did you see this argument between Mary and Chandler? Was it heated? Did things turn violent?" "Yeah, I'd say it was heated," Betty said, leaning her elbows on the counter. But not violent. I try not to eavesdrop, mind you. But from what I overheard, it was something about that book she was giving away for the pie-eating contest. He wanted her to reconsider. Reconsider what? Nance asked, frowning. Giving the book away as a prize? I'm not sure. Betty shrugged. Like I said, I'm no spy. But I don't think he ever said, now that I think about it. But maybe he just wanted it back or something.
That doesn't make any sense, Ruth said from behind Nance. If the author didn't want her giving away that old book, then why would he come all the way here to present it to the winner himself?
Again, no idea. Betty gave a one-shoulder shrug. All I can tell you for certain is that he said he wanted to look at the book, and Mary said there wasn't time. She told him he should have asked her earlier, and that's when he got all put out and yelled at her about how he tried many times and that the organizers of the event were not being very accommodating to his wishes.
What happened after that? Helen asked. Where did they go after the argument?
Your guess is as good as mine. I walked away at that point.
Betty looked sheepish. I'd been standing behind one of those tall balloon arrangements in the corner, and I didn't want to get caught.
Sprinkles started to do a little jig by the door, and Lexi suspected she had some urgent business.
Well, thank you for grooming Sprinkles, Betty. I'll see you next month.
See you then.
Betty waved before returning to the back of her shop. Lexi and the ladies headed back out to the VW, stopping along the way so Sprinkles could do her business. Once they were all back in the car, Nance tried to hold Sprinkles on her lap in the passenger seat, but the dog was having none of it. She was far more interested in climbing into the back. Nance pulled her back to her lap, but Sprinkles tried to slip between the front seats. Nance pulled back and Sprinkles tried again.
Oh, just let her come back here. I'll hold her.
Ida held her hands out and Nance let go. Sprinkles leaped into Ida's lap, but didn't stop there. She crawled across Ida, then Ruth, and went right to Helen and got busy sniffing Helen's giant purse. Satisfied that Sprinkles was secure with the ladies in back, Lexi started the car and headed toward the retirement center. So, what about this new information on Chandler Bennington? Ruth sniffed.
Sounds to me like he thought it was too generous to give his book as a prize in a pie-eating contest, and he wanted it back.
Pfft, Ida scoffed. How much can that ratty old book be worth, anyway? That guy isn't even that famous. He writes about a pie-baking detective, for goodness sake.
She scowled.
Wasn't even like that book was such a great prize to begin with. I'd much rather have had 2 tickets to the early bird special at Cactus Joe's.
I told Mary that myself, but she said we didn't have enough money in the coffers for gift certificates to a restaurant,
Ruth said.
She was quite pleased she'd saved the community center so much money by getting that book at a yard sale for a quarter. You know, we don't have a lot of discretionary funds. That's why we had to let go of the on-site security and issue key cards.
Betty did say that Chandler was angry, Nan said. And anger makes for a good motive. But why would he be angry? That's the thing I don't understand. I mean, I suppose it could just be his personality to be disagreeable. Everyone seems to describe him as eccentric and moody and generally unfit for human companionship.
And the guy writes about murder, don't forget, Ida added. Isn't such a jump for him to go from writing about it to actually doing it, eh? Not to mention that the guy didn't eat any pie. That right there's suspicious, if you ask me. He kept his hands in his pockets the whole time, too, Ruth said. I noticed every time I saw him that they were tucked away inside his pockets. Now I wonder if he wasn't trying to hide something, like maybe scratches or pie under his nails, from what he did to poor Mary.
Pie? Nance asked, frowning.
Yes, pie. Ruth gave her a flat look. Mary was found face down in a pie. I'd assume whoever killed her got it on his hands. And Lexi said Jack and the police confiscated those pies as evidence because it looked as though someone had been digging around in them, right? There were blueberry pies and strawberry. Both of those stain.
Yes, Ida exclaimed, making everyone jump. Pie stains. Blueberry pie stains something awful. And that's the kind of pie Mary was face down in. The filling was all over the tablecloth and floor in the pie room. I bet that's it. That's why he had to hide his hands. Why, the last time I ate some at the bakery, I had to clean my dentures 3 times to remove the stains.
Helen didn't say a word, just sitting in her corner of the back seat, trying to shoo sprinkles away from her handbag. Nance had apparently had enough of her silent behavior, because she turned around to give Helen a look over her shoulder.
Helen, what do you think?
Helen snatched her purse away from Sprinkles and looked up at Nance.
Well, it could have been Chandler, but it's usually someone close to the victim.
Nance studied Helen for a while.
That's it.
You need to eat some carbs, my friend. You're turning into a real Debbie Downer with this new diet of yours.
Lexi kept driving, unable to keep from wondering if there was more to Helen's change in attitude than her diet. Her mind drifted to an image of Helen in the hallway right before Mary was killed.
Chandler Bennington is staying at the Wayfarer Motel out on Route 6, Ruth said as they pulled into the parking lot in front of the community center.
I overheard Mary mention it the other day. What are we waiting for, then?
Ida asked. Let's go see him. The diner next door to the motel has great BLTs.
Lexi glanced back at Sprinkles. Well, I guess I can drop Sprinkles off and ask Cassie to hold down the fort at the bakery.
Great. Nance clapped her hands. We can talk to Chandler and get him to confess to Mary's murder, then celebrate with a late lunch at the diner.